And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to a very special edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, I want to talk to you about a subject that is so immense and so evil in nature that one can scarcely even imagine such a thing exists. But it does. It involves your pocketbook, your future, your home, your car, your job, your bank account. And I am not going to exaggerate to you one bit the immense importance of today's subject. And let me get right to the point. You know, I've never been one accused of mincing words or trying to divert or dodge an issue. So let me go right to the point. We are now in the midst. We are now at the end game of the engineering of an American financial meltdown and a global crash, conceived, designed, planned, and carried out by Jewish bankers. Okay, so I'm an anti-Semite, you say. I don't care what you say about me. I'm trying to save America and the world. You say, well, you cannot do that, Tex. I mean, your ministry is much too small, and this problem we're facing, this financial crisis, is too long gone and way too wide scaled for a little Tex Mars to stop. Well, listen, friends, I simply do my part. I'm not responsible for what you do or what your neighbors do or what American politicians do or preachers or anyone else. I can only answer for myself. And I'm going to stand before God one day, and I want to give him an account of Tex Mars. Now, I've never been one to quit fighting because I'm losing. Did you hear what I just said? I am not one to quit fighting just because I'm losing. Now, that may seem a little stupid because some people say, well, why do you fight if you're not going to win? Well, I don't have to worry about winning. I just fight the good fight. I have a God up in heaven who is going to win everything. And he just tells me, occupy till I come. But there is some things in the Bible that I know. It says that we as true Christian believers, and I'm not talking about the 99% of people who say they're Christians, but are a bunch of pseudo-fakes and scam artists. And you find those in churches and denominations and among the televangelists. I'm talking about true Christians. Because even the gates of hell cannot stop true Christians. We are the overcomers. Now, since I absolutely believe that, the gates of hell cannot withstand the truth of God's people. I've quoted before the great Russian historian and writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who said simply this, that one word of truth outweighs the whole world. Friends, they can speak volumes of lies, but one word of truth outweighs everything that they have uttered, every word that they've uttered. The volumes, the trillions of words that they utter mean nothing to me. So we're going to go straight ahead in this, and I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on in the world of finance and the American economy. And you get so much baloney and garbage today, I hope you will appreciate what I'm telling you because I'm trying to keep you informed about these things. Now, where do I get my sources? I listen because I want to see what the opposition is doing, and I consider the opposition every major news media organization in the world. They are a bunch of liars. They are the opposition to We Who Speak the Truth. And I'm talking about Fox News and MSNBC and CBS and ABC and CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Associated Press, Newsweek, Time, a bunch of unmitigated, filthy liars who are covering up everything, hoping that they can keep their jobs and keep the money coming in. Well, I don't worry about my job or money coming in, so I can just tell you what is the truth. Now, first of all, we're going to learn a little bit today about bubbleology. Yeah, that's right. It's the religion of the Jewish bankers, and you need to understand their religious doctrine. Their religion is money. Even Jesus told the Jews, you must choose between God and mammon. Mammon was the god of money. They said, okay, we'll choose mammon. And one of them, Judas, sold Jesus to be crucified for 30 pieces of silver. This is how depraved these people are. And they're here today with the same religion, the traditions of men, and their religion is one based on money. They are the money masters of this world, and they have chosen their God. And that's why Jesus says in Matthew 23 and 24, he says very clearly of Jerusalem and the Jews, he said, until the Son of Man, that is he, until Jesus himself returned again, the house of Israel would be devoid of any truths or spirituality. Devoid. Eaten up with money. And the desire, the pursuit of money, which the Apostle Paul said, the love of which, he said, is the root of all evil. So, if you want to know what's going on, remember, evil men want more money, and they want to take yours, and they want to bring you to slavery status, because every dime they take from you, they can put into their coffers. Do they need your little dimes and nickels and pennies? No, they don't, but they do it just for a challenge. It's a game to them, and they have fun worshiping their God. They break America down and its people with gleefulness. And I just wanted you to know that. Now, bubbleology, what is that? Friends, let me tell you something. The way these people have broken America down is by setting up straw men, or let's just call them bubbles. Now, you have to understand what has transpired here, because the majority of people in America have fallen for this and have participated in the building up of bubbles. And every bubble is now broken down except one, which is now in the process of being blown up. And it too, when it bursts, it will be the bubble of all bubbles. Now I'm going to explain this to you. And please believe me, this is the truth, and forget everything you've seen on TV. Forget it all. It's just a bunch of garbage, porridge. Now listen, let me explain this to you. When you were a little kid, probably like me, for about a dime or 15 cents, you would buy a little bottle of some kind of a liquid. It was some kind of a soapy substance, and they had a little piece of plastic, a little bit of round ring on it with a little handle, and you stick the plastic ring down into the liquid bottle, and it comes up, and there's a film of soap, soapy substance, and then you blow bubbles. And sometimes you could blow bubbles, and you would see how far they would go. They wouldn't go very far, 3, 4, 5, 6 feet. But wow, sometimes the bubble would be real big, and it would just seem to go, you know, halfway across the room, and all the kids would go, wow, look, blowing bubbles. But they don't last. If you used to watch Lawrence Welk, you know, he would always start the show with these bubbles coming out of the horns or whatever. Remember that on New Year's Eve, they'd blow the bubbles out of champagne. I don't know what they were. Champagne music and bubbles. They didn't last very long. They were very gay and very entertaining, but eventually they burst. Now there's a lot of bubbles in this world, friends. The devil brings forth the people. Sometimes he causes married men to go after women who are not their possession, they're not married to. He causes married women to do the same thing. They're blowing bubbles. They're looking for the myth of the greener grass. And the devil says, wouldn't you like to dabble here? Wouldn't you like to blow a bubble here? And you blow a bunch of bubbles, and pretty soon, friends, you end up with nothing, because I'm telling you, every bubble will burst. Anything that's not based on reality will eventually end up as nothing. But the devil loves to bring bubbles around, doesn't he? You know, I've seen youngsters graduate from high school. I say, what are you going to do with your life? Well, I think I'm just going to bum around for a few years. And yeah, you're a loser. What you're going to do is go blow some bubbles. Yeah. And you're going to end up nowhere city, my friend. Well, listen, there are a lot of bubbles in this world, but in the financial world, they seem to predominate. Now, let's look at the bubbles that have burst in America. And these should have been signs to all of us of what was to come. You remember back a few years ago, the dot-com. It's called the dot-com bubble and crash. Because the crash always follows the build-up, the great bubble. People were buying on the NASDAQ stocks that had nothing of substance to back them up but names. Pets.com, you know, money.com, this.com, that.com. And I was amazed sometimes because I would see stocks that were selling $300, $400, $500 a share. But there was no real company. It was just a dot-com name. And they were buying and selling, and people were getting so rich and wealthy off of these dot-com stocks. The NASDAQ market basically specialized in these stocks. And the people on Wall Street told us, you know, CNBC and these other business networks and shows, they sort of told everybody, you know, well, this is a new phenomenon. You don't have to worry about the fundamentals of a stock anymore. And it was like, you can't lose. Everything is going to keep going up. So the NASDAQ went up 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 5,000. And some of these stocks were worth more than General Motors and Procter & Gamble and Macy's and Penny's and Sears and all of the big names combined. And then suddenly the bubble burst. And I saw stocks that were for $300 a share suddenly, within months, selling for 50 cents, 40 cents, zero. Where did all the money go? Trillions of dollars, the dot-com bust. And listen, one bubble after another has burst. A few years ago, everybody seemed to be buying new household goods and furniture. Furniture stores were just making a killing. And everybody was buying stuff for their homes. It burst too. Then there was the art and the coins and the stamps and collectibles, even fine wines. People were going out and said, look, have you got Chateau Mouton, whatever, you know, 1988, it's worth $40,000 a bottle. $40,000 a bottle for this one or that one. Fine wines, invest in it. Yeah, you can invest in fine wines. Don't drink them. Collect them. Coins, art. I mean, find some famous artist and I mean, you could pay $5, $10, $20 million for a piece of art that was junk. Pablo Picasso, one of the most famous artists in the world, was asked about his art. He said, "It's all junk. I'm not an artist." He actually said that, "I'm not an artist. It's junk. People are idiots and they're buying it." And you know, even after he said it, people kept buying it. My grandson took a class on art, the history of art or something like that, at a community college. And his teacher was telling him how great artist, you know, this one was, and this one, the Renaissance artist, and Picasso. And my grandson was telling me about it. He said, "Papaw, have you ever heard about this artist, that artist?" And I said, "Yeah, most of them were a bunch of depraved, crazy men. They were idiots. Their art was stupid." "Really?" "Yeah," and I told him about Picasso, who admitted it. Said, "I just put a bunch of junk down. It doesn't even make any sense. People look at it and you know, it's abstract art. And they say, 'Oh, this is marvelous. You must be a genius.'" Friends, they even had puppy dogs and they tied paintbrushes to their paws and put their paws down into paint cans and then threw the puppies onto a canvas and they ran around the canvas and then they took the painting of puppies' paws paintings of doing the painting and sold that for tens of thousands of dollars. And the people didn't even know. It was just a big hoax. They actually had artists who sprayed paint all over, spilled paint all over their body. Then they just got down and rolled around on a piece of canvas and then sold that. And people bought it. And they told the artist, "You're a genius." But then came the bubble. Now that art is not worth it. Agricultural land. You know, Willie Nelson went out and said, "Boy, we got to help save the farmers." And it's true, the little farmers were suffering. Pretty soon, the big agribusiness corporations owned most of the land, and they kept buying and buying. Did you know that agricultural land has gone up 20 or 30 times in the past 15 years? Yeah. There's been a big bubble of agricultural land, but it burst. Real estate. You can't go wrong with real estate while people were living off of the equity, getting equity loans, especially in places like California, Massachusetts, and some other states. You know, I knew people that the husband and wife together were only making $50,000, $60,000 between them in their jobs, but they were spending $100,000, $150,000 a year. How can you do that? How could you make $50,000 a year as a family, but spend $150,000? Well, your house keeps going up in price. You buy it for $100,000, and 3 years later, it's worth $200,000. And then 3 years later, it's worth $400,000. And then 3 or 4 years later, it's worth $1 million. And you get all the equity, and you keep spending and spending it until suddenly the bubble burst. I kept telling my wife, Wanda, "How can people afford these homes?" Well, they could as long as they kept going up. Because if you bought a house for $800,000 that you couldn't afford, that's okay because it would be worth $1,200,000. You'd have to get a $400,000 profit within a couple of years and pay off the first loan and keep all the rest. And they'd refinance it, get equity loans on it. Everything was great until the price of the houses in the big Ponzi scheme reached the height and then began to fall. Now, the bankers knew this was coming, and they just decided to really spur it. So they went out and told people, "Buy homes, and we won't even check your credit rating. Just go buy." The last 3 years or so, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and all of them just said, "Buy, buy, buy. We'll give you a loan." "Well, but I've got bad credit. I never pay anybody back. I owe them." "It's okay. We'll still let you buy a home." "Huh?" I meant an old friend of mine a couple of years ago. He was driving a new car. I knew the guy. He was a pretty shiftless guy, unfortunately. never made more than a minimum wage, and he usually changed jobs every 3 or 4 months. He's probably only making about $8 an hour. I said, wow, Paul, you're doing pretty good here. Got a new car now? Oh, yeah. Got him a new car. I said, how could you afford the money down? I didn't have to pay any money down. Got a new car. Friends, the note that he owed on that car was more than he was making at his job a month. It was an impossibility. Well, of course, my friend Paul doesn't have that car anymore. It was repoed. It was repossessed. How did he ever get the car? How did they approve his credit? Well, they didn't. He had no credit. And this was the problem. They invented a credit bubble and it broke. Now Paul can't get anything. He can't buy furniture. He can't rent a home because he's squelched on so many leases and rentals. People won't even rent to him. He's living with his mom and daddy now in the basement. A few years ago, he could have bought a home and a new car with no credit and no job. You say, well, Tex, I've never heard of such a thing. Well, you don't get around. You say, well, I tried to get along 5 years ago and they disapproved. 5 years ago. But 2.5 years ago, they were giving it to anybody. In fact, if you go out and you wanted to buy a house that was, they were selling for $200,000, they'd give you a $250,000 loan. Then you could buy the house with no money down and take the $50,000 and live off of it too. Wow. But it burst. The real estate bubble has burst. The credit bubble has burst. And now the stock market. They call them equities. Stock market. It was one of the last to go. It went about 4 or 5 months ago. It went all the way up to 14,000 on the Dow. 14,000. Just kept going up, 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 up. And then suddenly it started collapsing. The bubble burst. Yesterday, it was about 7,800, I believe. It's gone down 50%. The bubble has burst. And where it'll stop, nobody knows. Hedge funds, they called them hedge funds. They were just rich men's investment clubs. They all burst. Everybody was talking about what a good deal the richest man in the world, Warren Buffett, got. He bought into Goldman Sachs, and they gave him a 10% discount right off the top to buy in to their stock. He bought it at $110 a share, Goldman Sachs, investment firm on Wall Street. Everybody said, what a genius this Warren Buffett is. That was, I think, 3 months ago. What a genius he is. That stock was $250 a share just a year ago, and he bought it for $110 a share. He's a genius. No wonder the man's the richest man in the world, Warren Buffett of Nebraska. Well, I just checked right before this program this morning, and guess what? Goldman Sachs, the investment house from New York City, Wall Street, it was selling for $60 a share. It looks like, what was it, several billion dollars that Warren Buffett put into it? It's only worth half as much as he paid in. The richest man in the world lost half of his investment in just a few months. And that's not all. Right after he invested Goldman Sachs, he felt so smug and arrogant. For the first time, as far as I know, in his life, he wrote a column that was printed in newspapers across his country, and he said, well, I've just invested in the stock market. Yeah, it's down a little bit, but that just means it's an opportunity. Buy now. I'm recommending everybody buy. Buy stocks. Thank you, Mr. Buffett. And since you wrote your little column that was printed across the world, the American stock market's gone down another 20 or 30%. And people who took your advice have lost, some of them have lost everything because of you. I don't really feel sorry for you. You still have, I don't know, what do you have, $50 or $60 billion left? Now, here's another thing that's gone down, oil. Now, I told you, and I was telling you the truth, back many months ago when oil reached $147 a barrel, I said it's speculators doing it. They're driving up the price of oil. It's artificial. The planet is awash in petroleum. And I told you the names of the two companies, the Wall Street Jewish banking companies that were doing it, Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. It's artificial. It's thin air. Now, what was I telling you? There's so much oil out there, we would never be able to use it in 10,000 years. I know they're telling you about all this, oh, we're peak oil, we're going to run out of oil, and oh, woe is us, we need solar, we need wind. Look who's telling you these things. Crazy, insane environmentalist, and the oil companies. T. Boone Pickens bought ads. The one of the richest men in America from Oklahoma. He's an oil man. He bought ads telling everybody, we need a new plan for America. We're running out of oil. And boy, oil is going to go up to $250, $300 a barrel by the end of the year, he said. So we got to have wind power and these other alternative energy things. When he said that, oil was selling for about $140 a barrel. He said it's going to go up to $200, $300 a barrel. We need wind power. That was an oil man blowing smoke in your ears, friends. Now, while he was telling you the price of oil was going to continue to go up, 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 Tex Mars did a special program. And if you don't believe me, you can order it from this ministry entitled Planet Petroleum. And I told you, it's all artificial. There's no way the price of oil should be $147. Except for the Wall Street manipulators that are breaking the back of the American consumer and driving America into a third world slave country. And guess what happened? They did it. They broke the back of the economy with $147 a barrel oil. And now what is oil selling for after the bubble broke? Well, this morning it sold for $50 a barrel. It's about one-third of what it was just 4 months ago. And gasoline that had gone up over $4 for a gallon of regular gasoline at the pump is now down under $2 and should be a dollar. In fact, we've got so much gasoline and all the refineries are brimming with it in their tanks. They can't get rid of it all. And people are so frightened, they're driving billions of miles less than, you know, cumulatively than ever before. Bubble. It was a bubble, the gasoline bubble, the oil bubble, and it broke. And when we come back in a minute, we're going to talk about some other bubbles and where the economy is heading. And we're going to learn more about Bubbleology 101. This is Tex Mars. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this brief message. This Tex Mars again, folks. You know, we're talking about the economy today. And yet, while so many are losing their jobs, they're worried about their next paycheck, how they're going to buy food at the food store for their family. They're worried about their pension, about how they're going to pay their medical bills. There are rich people in this world who are still living the high life on your back. I did a video just recently about these men and their lifestyles and their luxurious estates. And that video documentary is entitled, where the rich and famous dwell. Where the rich and famous dwell. You see, some people say the rich are different than you and me. And I have found that they are. In ways much more than just their pocketbook. I believe that many of these very, very wealthy illuminists have a missing soul, or at best have a blackened area in that soul. And I found that in their estates. When you go behind the big iron gates, the fancy luxurious spatial estates, you find demonic gargoyle statues and stone carvings and statues and idols of goddesses and gods and devils. You find evidence in art and even the furniture inside these estates of the Masonic and the secret society participation of these evil men. Whether it's the bloodlines and dynasties of the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Astors, the DuPonts, you must know about these men and what they really are like, who they are. And you'll discover that it seems they can never have enough. They have money, but they have devils. I think I'd rather not have money than have to invoke devils and bring them into my life like these rich men have. Now, we're asking $25 for this 60-minute video. It's like nothing you have ever seen. Where the rich and famous dwell. The Illuminati bloodline dynasties and their estates and where they live and who they really are. It'll be a revelation to you. And you'll want to bring some friends over to your house and watch this video with them. Where the rich and famous dwell. For $25, please add $4 shipping and handling. A total of $29 to order your DVD or VHS video. And be sure to specify now which format you would like to have. The old VHS, we still have that, or the newer DVD video. Just phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us and send us $29 and send that $29 and ask for the video, Where the Rich and Famous Dwell. Write to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And of course, you can go online to our website, powerofprophecy.com. We even have an article that's absolutely free that you can read with some pictures of where the rich and famous dwell. And we have a little preview video. You can see the preview video of where the rich and famous dwell, as well as some of our other videos, including the one about Gulag concentration camps, architectural colossus, and others. Again, that's powerofprophecy.com. And now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the world financial crisis engineered by the Jewish bankers. Now, we've talked about the dot-com crash, the high-tech dot-com crash, the bubble, household goods and furniture, bubble, art, coins, stamps, collectible, fine wines, all bubbles, land, agricultural land, bubble, the real estate, that's residential and commercial, bubble, the credit bubble, the stock market bubble, the hedge fund bubble, the oil bubble. How about food? You know, they were telling you just 3 or 4 months ago that the price of food was going to keep going up, 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 up. But I came on this radio program and I said, hold on just a minute. It's not going to go up, 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 up. It's already reached a bubble. The rich have already got as much as they can out of it. and now nobody can afford the food, and people are going to quit buying. You say, well, people have to eat. Yes, but they'll eat other things. They'll quit buying fine cuts of meat and start just eating rice and beans. Hey, when I was a kid, that's what we had. We didn't have steaks. We couldn't even afford milk. We drank Kool-Aid and ate rice and beans. I thought the whole world was made up of rice and beans, friends. The food commodities, you know, hog bellies and pork and beef cattle and sugar and wheat and oats and rice and all those things, they went spiraling up and then the bubble burst and now they're spiraling down and they continue to fall. Even as warehouses and granaries are packed to the limit. Now, a lot of you are saying, well, I haven't seen that in my local supermarket or food store. It has come down a little bit. Not much. Of course, they raised the price up to the moon, but they don't drop it all at once. They're making all the profit. That's what they did for oil. Oil is only one third of the price it was 4 months ago. But they've only reduced the price of gasoline about 50%. There's a lag while they're making their bucks off of you. That's just the way it is. Precious metals. Now, I always get letters from people and they say, Tex, why don't you sell gold in your ministry? We want to buy gold from somebody because it's going to go to $5,000 or $15,000 an ounce, we've been told. Yeah, well, you've been told wrong. I have had these gold companies approach me and say, Tex, we will sponsor your radio program. All you have to do is have commercials on, you know, two or three commercials during the 1 hour show and let us sell gold coins or let us sell gold bullion. What a deal. You can save tens of thousands of dollars a year of radio time that you have to buy. Now listen, dear friends of Power of Prophecy, there's a reason why I don't have any sponsors on this program. It's because I'm going to tell you the truth. And I would have to go along with their schemes and their plans. And some of these people are actually sincere. They really do believe gold is going to go to the moon. Who do you think controls the gold market? And friends, the same people who control the commodities markets, the stock market, the art, the collectibles market, the credit bubble, the same people who gave us the real estate crash also monitor and control the gold market. They set the price every day. You say, oh no, that's done. People buy and sell and buy and sell. It's like a big auction. Oh, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. That's just the appearances. Now, if there was really an honest gold market, you see, gold went up to about, it went over $1,000 an ounce several months ago. And with this incredible crash we've had in world economies, with one stock market after another in Pakistan, India, China, Hong Kong, Germany, Great Britain, Italy, Australia, Korea, around the world, stock markets, Brazil, everywhere they've been crashing and burning. And people are in a state of fear and panic. Gold should be, if we really had an honest market, $10,000 an ounce. People do fly away to gold. It's a safe haven, they say. But instead of going up, it's gone down. This morning, I think it was like $740 an ounce. But when it was over $1,000, all of these hucksters on the radio were all out there saying, it's going up, $2,000, $3,000, buy now. But you never heard Tex Mars tell you that, did you? Friends, listen to me. The precious metals market was a bubble just like anything else. And now everything's deflating. We're in a period of deflation. Now, I want you to understand, there is one last bubble that's being blown right now. It's the great money bubble. The great money bubble. Now, we've already had the credit bubble. That was a money bubble. But it was a private money bubble. The private markets did it. They lent. I mean, people are out there saying, every day I get credit card offers in the mail. Well, you're not getting them anymore. Maybe a few, but not many. Because they wanted you to borrow money. Everybody was offering you credit cards and this, and come and get an equity loan at our bank. And all, they were wanting you because they had all this money to lend out to you. Now, what you have to understand is that all of these banks and investment companies, from Wachovia to Bank of America to Citibank, Wells Fargo, all of them, for every dollar they had in their bank, they could create 30 fake dollars, fiat dollars, 30 to 1. I'd like to do that, wouldn't you? Do you have $1,000 in your savings account? Well, go out and spend $30,000. See how far it'll get you. Think of it. Maybe you've been saving for many, many years. Your life saving is now maybe $20,000. You and Mama say, we're going to retire. We're going to have $20,000 in savings when we retire. Well, if you were one of the bankers, multiply that times 30. And instead of 20,000, you'd have 600,000 to spend. Of course, that would have got you in a lot of trouble. I mean, you know, law enforcement, you couldn't go in and say, well, I know I spent 600,000, but I had 20,000 of real money. They would say, well, why did you spend just 20? What were you doing going out and spending 600,000? Well, don't you know? Well, no, they don't know. But that's what the banks have been doing. They created new instruments. They were so clever, these Wall Street Jews. And credit swaps and credit derivatives and stuff that you've never even heard of. And you go out and get a mortgage for a $200,000 home, and pretty soon they're able to lend out another $5 million, $6 million, $20 million on your little bitty mortgage. How did they do it? Well, they have the King Midas touch. They just, everything they touch turned to gold. Until one day, it was at its height. The bubble was as big as it could get. And it couldn't support itself, and it began to dissolve and collapse, and it hit the ground. But now, in the last 6 weeks alone, our Federal Reserve and our Treasury Department has pumped in over $5 trillion into the banking system. Now, I'm going to just give you one of my prejudices today, and many of you won't even agree with me. Our automotive companies in the United States, General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, the last few days have been before Congress just begging. They treated them like beggars with tin cups. They had everything but their little monkeys on a cord playing their little musical instruments. Please give us some money. It was the most sickening display I've ever seen. And those filthy, dirty, cheating, greedy congressmen sitting up there in that committee treated those auto executives and the union boss like they were dirt. Because they were begging for money. Now listen. It's not that I have so much love for the head of General Motors or Ford or Chrysler or the United Auto Workers Union. And yeah, they even went to the hearings and flew in their great big private jets. I don't have any love for those men, and they've probably been getting too much in salary and bonuses. I don't mind cutting that too if I had the right or the ability to do it. But I want to tell you something right here, my friends. There's a reason why they want to break American economy and manufacturing. There's a reason why Congress, most of Congress run by the Jews, you got to read the protocols of the learned elders of Zion to understand they want to break the American icons of business. They won't the JCPenney's and the Sears and the Montgomery Wards is long gone and the Mervyn's is long gone, bankrupt. They don't want a General Motors or a Ford or a Chrysler. They want you to buy foreign cars. They're globalizing everything. They're breaking the backs. Now, you say, well, they didn't make good cars, and that's why they're going out of business. You are dead wrong. You are dead wrong. They make good cars out of Detroit, as well as other places where they make those cars. Ohio, other states have auto factories. And listen to me. You don't read the automotive magazines where they rate the cars, or you'd find out they're making just as good a car in America as they're making over in Japan or Korea. Yes, they are. Now, but those auto workers, well, they're getting medical benefits, and a lot of them are getting pensions. Yeah, just like those congressmen. You know what? I would have liked to have been the head of General Motors, and when one of those hypocritical congressmen said, well, you flew to here, Washington, in a private jet. You blew all that money to get to these hearings, and now you want us to give your company money. I'd have said, yeah, well, how did you get to these hearings this morning, Mr. Congressman? Did you drive a car? No! You were brought here from your fancy, luxurious apartment or home or estate in a limo driven by a chauffeur. Every one of you congressmen. And your kids go to private schools, not even public schools. And not a one of you probably has a son in the armed forces. You're just a bunch of rich, filthy ingrates sitting there judging us. And that's the way I would put it. Now listen, the Jewish bankers came up and said, we want $700 billion. And they couldn't jump high enough to give them their $700 billion. Within days, they had their $700 billion. And three names of American automakers, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, come begging for just $25 billion. And they made them grovel at the congressional moneymakers' feet. They say, well, I don't think we ought to be bailing business out. They bailed out all the Jewish bankers on Wall Street, $700 billion, even one of the largest insurance corporations in the world, AIG, it's already had over $100 billion. They've gotten four times as much as Detroit got, is begging for. Do you understand that one company, AIG, owned by Jews, a huge insurance Wall Street firm, has received over $100 billion, one company. And most people never even heard of that company before, AIG. $100 billion of taxpayers' money has gone to that company. $700 billion. But no, that's not even all of it. It was $700 billion that Congress approved, but they've actually given out $5 trillion. And it's true. It's true. Money that you and I didn't even approve. Our Congress didn't even approve. $5 trillion to the bankers. And then they have the gall. They got the money by saying, we're going to buy up all of this. The government's going to buy up all of these toxic mortgage assets. And that will free up money so people can get loans to buy cars and homes and all that. Will help the economy get going again. But after they got their $700 billion, Henry Paulson, Secretary of the Treasury, and that filthy, dirty, Zionist nut moron George W. Bush sitting up there, decided, well, we're not going to give that money for those toxic assets after all. We're just going to give it to our friends. J.P. Morgan, Chase Manhattan, Bank of America, AIG. They're not helping any mortgage people saddled with these mortgages. They're not helping the little people out there. Now listen, you say, I don't care if Chevrolet and Cadillac and all these other, and Ford and the F-100 and you know, all those car makers. I don't care if they go bankrupt. Let them all go bankrupt. Yeah, well, you just watch out, friends. Millions of people depend on those jobs. And it's not just in Detroit. You may not have any affinity or love for the car makers, but I want to tell you something. In every town and city in America, there's a Chevrolet dealer, a Ford dealer. Almost every one. And you know what? At every dealership, hundreds of people work. There's janitors. There's electricians. There's auto mechanics. There's people working in the parts department. There's salespeople. There are people that are washing the cars on the lots and such. People take care of the buildings. People do the paperwork. And they're not making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Go talk to a guy who sells cars. Most of them can't even make a living selling cars today. And the auto mechanics, they're not making $100 an hour fixing your car. Now listen to me, friends. They want to break the back of American manufacturing. That's what they want to do. And you better believe, if and when the economy ever gets going good again, they'll be selling plenty of cars. And they'll be bringing in workers, and they'll have new factories then. And all those Mexicans and Pakistanis and Chinese workers will be working there at minimum wage. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to break the back of the United Auto Workers. And I'm not a union man. I'm not, and I know there's been excesses by those people. Somebody said, well, did you know, Tex, some of those auto workers make over $100,000 a year? Maybe so. Maybe they're overpaid. How many of them? Not a lot of them. Hey, I don't care if you take away the private jets that the CEOs fly around in. Take them away. But don't tell me that the 3 million or so Americans who work in some way in the automotive industry, what are you going to explain to them about losing their jobs?
Well, I don't think the government ought to step in.
Oh, yeah? Well, were you complaining when the government was giving $5 trillion to the Jewish bankers in New York? And by the way, where did all that money go? It ended up in Israeli banks. You know, Lehman Brothers failed in New York City. And then news stories came out, and boy, have they done some tap dancing trying to deny it. That just a few days before Lehman Brothers failed, Lehman Brothers executives transferred $200 billion to Israeli banks. Israeli banks are bulging with money. They're also hiding a lot of their money, by the way, in Chinese banks. The Jews are. They have all kind of connections in Red China. And, you know, our banking regulators don't have the right to go to Red Chinese banks and say, who's putting money there? Oh, they go to the Bahamas and the Caribbeans and get all these people trying to hide their money in these offshore island scams. But if you're a Jewish banker, you take your many billions of dollars and you put it in the Bank of Shanghai, China. And they don't know one thing about it. They can't track it. They know nothing. I want to tell you something, friends. This is the scam. They're going to break the back of all the banks. They're all going down in America. And then they're merging them into these foreign banks. But what happened to all this money? Why is it that the whole world was brimming with money and people were buying Rolls Royces and fur coats and private jets and all these things? I'm not talking about the little people, the big rich people. And suddenly there's no money. Where did it all go? It's still out there. You know, those $50 to $60 trillion in derivatives, it's still out there. You just don't know where it's at. Listen to me, friends. During the Great Depression, not everybody lost all their money. The Rothschilds and the Rockefellers got richer. There are people who are so gleeful at all this, they're breaking the back of America. Now, I want to tell you something about General Motors and those people. They were making these big SUVs. They were making big pickup trucks and vans and minivans that ate up a lot of gas. There are a lot of people out there now pointing fingers at them saying, why did you make all those big cars, SUVs, trucks? You should have been making these little bitty fuel-efficient little cars like Nissan was and Honda. You deserve what you get if you go bankrupt. Listen to me, friends. Two factors you may not have thought about. General Motors made those big SUVs because people wanted them. People wouldn't buy the little cars. Yeah, they bought some. But they wanted big ones. And housewives are crying. I couldn't believe it. Little, you know, 90-pound housewife driving a big Chevy Tahoe. What's that all about? You know, I drive up and, you know, I have just an average size, mid-size car, maybe a little larger than average. I drive up to a stop sign and there's big SUVs all around me and these little old bitty housewives, soccer moms, driving gigantic beasts of cars, even the big Hummers, living the good life, eating up the gas. When gasoline was a dollar something a gallon, it was cheap. And the American automakers wanted to please Americans. If they had filled up the car lots with little bitty subcompact cars, nobody would have bought them. And you know it's true. Everybody wanted. Everybody here in Texas, every other guy owns a great big pickup. What, four cab or whatever, I don't know, multi-cab. What do they call those things, Jerry? Extended cab trucks. It's a lifestyle, man. Got to have those big trucks. Okay, Americans wanted them. And they gave it to them. And now they're being punished for giving people what they wanted. Suddenly, nobody could afford them. Even Toyota got hurt. Toyota made small cars, but wait, they also made the great big Tundra. Toyota even made a pretty big SUV. Now they can't sell them. Because suddenly everybody says, I don't want those anymore. They cost too much. They're too big. And the gasoline's too expensive. And how did that happen? How did everybody turn against the big SUVs and the big pickups? When it happened? When oil went up to $147 a barrel and it went to over $4 a gallon at the pump, then people said, I can't afford to fill up my big F-100 Ford. I can't afford to fill up my big Chevy Tahoe, my Hummer. Yeah, that's right. They couldn't afford to. And who is the one that broke the back with their scam of driving up the price? The Jewish bankers on Wall Street drove up the price of oil. They said, well, there's just all that demand out there. There was no demand. It was all artificially done. So this is the point, my friends. Bubbleology 101. That's what we've been talking today, the bubble. Now $5 trillion of a money bubble has been created. They have created this gigantic money bubble, and they're giving it to the bankers, not the little people. They're not buying up toxic assets. They're not freeing up money for the little people. They have spent, you know, they've got $700 billion that we've approved and some $4 trillion more that we did not even approve. And they're making General Motors and these people grovel. Meanwhile, our airlines are all going under. American Airlines, Continental, all of them, they're all suffering. I want to tell you something, friends. They're going to break the back of American retailers too. Watch and see. They're turning America over to the foreign powers. The Jewish bankers have engineered one bubble after another, and now this great money bubble. It may cause an artificial boom for a while, but watch out for the falling. It too is going to blow up in our face. And this time it's public money, not private money. The money bubble, public money bubble. They're blowing money to everybody. No, not to everybody, just the banks. The banks are getting it all. Bubbleology. Will Obama change things? Yeah, it'll be worse now. He's a Leninist communist. He wants capitalism to fail. It's been planned from the beginning. Watch out for the bubbles. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've had a special edition today. Bubbleology 101. The planned Jewish banking crash of America and the blending of America into the New World Order. Each week during this same time, friends, my prayer is that you will tune in and discover the power of prophecy.